Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. A real pleasure continuing our conversations with Dr. Michael Armour. Michael Armour holds a PhD from UCLA, among many other degrees, and he's achieved impressive strides in diverse fields that include education, nonprofit administration, ministry, and the U.S. Navy as well. And he later founded a company that is a consulting company that speaks to his decades of leadership accomplishments. It's called Strategic Leadership Development International. As an executive coach, business strategist, and keynote speaker, there are few subjects that he has yet to broach. And Dr. Mike, as he is affectionately known, has coached close to 1,000 executives and entrepreneurs, and he has consulted with corporate leaders and individuals in nearly every business, industry, and geographic corner. He has shared his insights with numerous people in numerous venues, such as training sessions and conferences, face-to-face discussions, and public addresses, as well as articles and even a best-selling book, Leadership and the Power of Trust. Over the past 5 years, Dr. Mike has taken to podcasts to spread his message about career and managerial success. With his notable background, he also realizes more than ever that, for highly successful people, you really got to tackle the biggest projects or issues, and you don't want to do it alone. Folks strive for success, but they thrive on the support, ideas, and feedback of people at the same career, emotional, and personal level. This is why they seek out others at conferences and networking events, and increasingly nowadays in mastermind groups. Last week, we sort of kicked things off and sprinkled in some really good information about mastermind groups. We encourage you to go back in the archives and hear that episode, and we're going to sort of continue that thread today. All of this ensures that as one ascends the ladder, it's not a solo expedition. And Dr. Mike has served as a facilitator of such mastermind groups in the past, and he'll be launching another one in the near future, too, so stay tuned for that. And also be sure and listen and learn and decide if you have what it takes to be a part of these powerful initiatives. Extraordinary conversation as we talk about mastermind groups today and finding the ideal mastermind group for yourself. Dr. Mike, welcome back to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today, as always.
Thank you very much, Jim. This is a good topic, and I look forward to our conversation about it.
Absolutely. As I said, today it's Masters with the Mastermind himself on this episode of Close Up Radio. How do mastermind groups differ from networking groups? Sometimes people hear both, but they don't know the subtle nuances and differences.
In effect, mastermind groups do have a networking function to them, but that is not their primary purpose for existence. Networking groups are, as their name implies, settings in which we can expand the number of people that we can call into our circle of resources should we need the services they provide. And therefore, there's a lot of variety in a networking group. It may be very large. I attend a one monthly networking group that's met for over 40 years here in Dallas over breakfast once a month. And we will have several hundred people in attendance. That's not a mastermind group. Networking groups are made up of people who are simply trying to enlarge their circle of connections so that they can utilize that circle of connections for some challenge that they may face in their career or in the business that they're building. As opposed to that, a mastermind group is made up of a select group of peers At a networking event, there will be people who are brand new to it, brand new to their careers. In fact, the group I just referred to has a young executives component within it. I'm one of the mentors in that young executives component. And the young executives are just beginning their careers. Sitting in that room are multimillionaires and occasionally a billionaire who have built multiple companies. And so the range of experience in that room is immense, but everyone is there to help others connect with resources that might be helpful to them. In a mastermind group, the people around the table, the people in the discussion, are fewer in number. Last week we said typically 4 to 20 people is what you would find in these groups. And they are all peers because what they are there to do is to contribute to one another's effectiveness. They're not there to build connections. They are there to use the connection that the group has to strengthen the skill set, broaden the outlooks, work through the complexity of questions that people within the group are struggling with in their personal role as a leader or entrepreneur or organizationally within their company itself. So in the course of that, obviously the connections deepen and there will be business opportunities that may come out of a mastermind group. But that's never the primary purpose. The primary purpose is for a group of peers who are at about the same place in their professional or career development and want to feed off of one another's knowledge to create a fuller understanding of how they can help one another and then to willingly share their counsel, their thoughts with one another, and also hold one another accountable. That's another thing that's characteristic of mastermind groups that you won't find in a networking group. There is mutual accountability within the room as part of the agreement to participate.
So that, in a very succinct way, breaks out mastermind groups and how they differ from networking groups. But, Dr. Mike, in a similar vein, what would you say is the difference between a mastermind group and a support group? And are there elements of each that blend together?
That's a good question, because from what I said about mastermind groups a moment ago, it's apparent that they are there to support one another. The difference is that what we typically call support groups are therapeutic in nature. Mastermind groups are not intended to be therapeutic. Issues may come up within the candid discussions that go on in these groups where someone will be advised to seek out professional help, but the group itself and the facilitator of the group are not going to tackle issues that are more nearly addressed in a therapeutic setting. So there is support, but it's not the support of the type that we would find in what are usually called support groups, people overcoming some limitation in their health, some habit that is unproductive that they're trying to conquer, some experience or trauma from the past they're trying to get beyond. That's not at all what a mastermind group is interested in. It's looking at where are we today, where are we going individually tomorrow, what are our plans to get there, how will we know that when we get there, and what can those of us in this group do to help each person get to that destination that he or she has set for them himself. So it is very supportive, but it's not a support group.
I really appreciate that breakdown because, you know, sometimes in our busy lives, we sort of lump all these things together, but they have their subtle differences. And it's good to, as far as being clear and understanding those differences. You know, we've been talking about the role that mastermind groups can play in furthering one's personal success, which is really important. given the benefits which they offer, I would imagine some of the listeners have kind of developed an interest in maybe being a part of a group like that. From your experience, Dr. Mike, what are the typical requirements for potential members?
I've used the term peers repeatedly last week and again this week, and distinguished a moment ago between mastermind groups and networking groups in that networking groups bring together many people who are not truly peers. Some are apprentices at what they're doing. Others are genuine world authorities at what they're doing. The mastermind group is going to bring together people who are peers. So the first thing you must be, if you're going to be part of a mastermind group, is someone who fits the criteria that are being used to define what the group is about. And there are many groups that, in fact, just this morning, I got an invitation to join a group. I looked at what they were wanting from their participants and said, you know, that's not me, and sent a nice thank you note to the person who invited me, because I would not be a good peer in that relationship. So there's our starting point. There is a requirement that we all be at a similar place in our careers, in our professional development, and in our experience and in our commitment to growth, because mastermind groups are intended to be growth groups, not growth in the numbers of the group, in the group, because that's pretty fixed from the start. We're going to be a group of a dozen people. We're going to be a group of 15 people. We're going to meet for a year. We're going to meet for 9 months. The parameters are pretty set at the first. And the commitment is to personal growth and the growth that I can help others attain as a result of the input that I make to the conversation. The further qualification is that you must be someone You really need to be someone who has a servant attitude toward relationships that you build. At networking events, a lot of people are there only interested in talking to you if they can quickly identify how you can be of benefit to them. It is a self-serving agenda. And every networking event that I go to, you run into a lot of those people who come up, they introduce themselves. When they have sized you up, if it's pretty apparent to them that you can't be of near-term benefit to them in some capacity, they quickly excuse themselves, coming up with some reason to do so, and they rush on to the next person. That's not a person for a mastermind group. Mastermind groups are made up of people who are there to offer their support, their encouragement, their insight, their emotional partnership with the people that are part of the group. So those are some of the things that you would look for in a very general sense. And then the facilitator who's putting it together will lay out a set of specific criteria. For instance, I was looking at a group just a moment ago online that has as its criteria, you must be a CEO of a company that grosses at least $5 million a year in order to be part of their group. So the next group that you look at might have a completely different set of criteria, but whatever those are, then you have to be prepared to meet those as well.
Very important to understand that and to realize that there is a criteria for being a part of it. And you did a beautiful job at sort of breaking that out for our listeners, because it can be confusing, I'm sure. What else is expected of someone who participates in a mastermind group?
First of all, participation. There are so many groups that people join just to have it on their resume that they're part of this association or part of this affiliation. That's deadly for mastermind groups. In fact, most mastermind groups, remember I said a while ago that they practiced mutual accountability. And so most of them have a set of ground rules that say if you miss a certain number of meetings, either in aggregate or certain number in a row, you're going to be asked to leave the group because these are meant to be mutual encouragement, mutual enrichment groups, and you can't encourage and enrich your peers if you're not there. So it is, first of all, expected of you that you will be there unless there is really a compelling reason for you not to be. That's one of the things that separates mastermind groups from what we might call small setting training groups. In training, I'm paying the instructor for what he or she has to offer. And if I choose not to be there for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, the instructor has received his or her fee. They go on with the class. I simply don't get the benefit that I would have gotten if I were there. That's not the way it works in a mastermind group. I need to be there because I am an integral part of the dialogue and the relationship building that is going on in these mastermind discussions. That means coming back to what I was talking about a while ago, I've got to have the sense that I am here to contribute, not just to absorb and take away, although I will absorb and take away a lot. Because when you sit in a room with 15 or 20 like-minded people who are dealing with the same issues in their career, in their profession, in their business that you are, inevitably you're going to come away with a lot of fresh thoughts running around in your head and asking you for a little time of reflection so that they can be fleshed out. And so you are going to be there as not just a participant, but as a contributor. And if you are not interested in contributing and you're not interested in being there with that regularity, you really ought not to get into these groups because, A, it's not a good investment of your money. And number two, it's not serving the needs of those that are part of the group. And that's what we are all about. We are here to help others in their pursuit of the same things we're pursuing in our own particular life.
I like the way you put that. It's one of the great things about your understanding of how these things work. You break it out in layman's terms so we can just dive right in and not have to worry about some of the nitty-gritty because you explain it in a way that allows us to absorb it quick and apply it, which I think is fantastic. There's guidelines, too, that some people might not be aware of. What are the guidelines usually governing how these groups are conducted?
They are, first of all, groups in which, in our offering of support and encouragement to one another, we are not there as advisors or counselors. Advisors use the word should a lot. You should do this. You ought to do this. You made a mistake by failing to do this. That's what we hire advisors or consultants to help us with. In a mastermind group, we avoid that language, if at all possible. Sometimes it slips out rather naturally, but part of the mutual accountability in the group is that we have to remind one another that we are not here as advisors. We are here to help provoke the thinking of other people. And so I may have a thought that I would like you to consider, but instead of me saying, you ought to do this, or you should consider this, I'm going to phrase it probably as a question. I'm wondering, have you considered this particular way of thinking about that problem? Or I will say, if we were to look at this issue that you brought up from this perspective, how would that impact your feelings about what you're doing in response to the challenge you're facing. We put questions to people that compel them to reflect, to go inside and pull up some thoughts or some attitudes or some outlooks or assumptions that they've not really given enough attention to. And one of the ways this happens, going back to something we talked about last week, is that most mastermind groups build around what's called the hot seat principle, where either one person or, depending upon the structure of the group, it may be two or three people individually at different times in the meeting, or it may be everyone in the meeting, spends some time in the hot seat, usually 20 minutes, 30 minutes at most. And in the hot seat, you are the focus of attention, not from a standpoint of interrogation, but from the standpoint of you being vulnerable enough to open up to the group about some challenge that you're facing, some issue you're trying to resolve, some analysis you're trying to strengthen or perfect, and then you're seeking their reflection and input, their thoughts on how you might be even more effective at what you're doing. And so there are going to be questions. There are going to be challenges in the most friendly and supportive way possible to assumptions that you're making. But you are in that hot seat. And what those of us who sit in those hot seats discover very quickly is we learn a lot there. We recognize very quickly when this group of friends, this very supportive circle, is asking us probing questions that force us to think more deeply about certain aspects of what we're doing than we have at this point, it's inevitably a learning experience. And so that's one of the keys to how these groups are conducted.
That's great. Again, for people that are just joining us, we're speaking with Dr. Michael Armour. He's breaking down how we find the ideal mastermind group for ourselves and really sort of breaking it down in ways that we can understand so when we are seeking one out, it's the one that really matches our needs and all the different variables and pieces of the puzzle that are a part of being a part of a mastermind group, how you go about it, how you find out about some of the rules and the ways that it's all put together. And then there's the facilitator. And we're going to talk about that now. What does the facilitator play, or what role, that is, in a mastermind group meeting?
It is the facilitator's role to keep us on track, to keep our focus on the agenda that has been defined for this meeting in particular and for the mastermind itself overall. Some masterminds are open-ended and run forever and ever. Most have a definite calendar period that they function within, typically 10 months to a year. Some shorter than that, but I would say that most people, when they join a mastermind group, can see what kind of, are clear on what kinds of commitments they can make to the group for 10 months, 11 months in the future. 2 years in the future, maybe. More than they can clearly anticipate. And so groups have learned to be structured in smaller settings. The facilitator pulls together all of the, shall we say, framework within which this group is going to function. And in the meeting itself, he then or she keeps the conversation focused and called back when necessary to the purpose of the group and the purpose of this meeting within the larger purpose of the group itself. The facilitator enforces the ground rules that I talked about a while ago. We don't step on one another's lines. We don't speak disrespectfully of one another. We are not here as advisors or consultants. We are here as people who are provoking the best thinking on the part of others within the room, the greatest creativity on the part of others who are part of the circle. And so the facilitator keeps everything running smoothly and easily by playing the game of being the gatekeeper on what can be talked about and what should be handled in another setting, and how we conduct ourselves in the interactions within the group.
How can we determine whether a particular group is actually right for them, and what questions should you ask about a mastermind group before even applying to join it?
That's one of those functions that the facilitator plays. The facilitator is normally the person who brings this group together. And as part of his or her duties, the facilitator should have produced a document that clearly spells out what this group is about and how it's going to go about pursuing that agenda. You need to read that carefully. And if someone is asking you to join a mastermind group and they can't provide that for you readily and almost immediately, it's a facilitator who's not really necessarily someone you want to invest your money and a lot of your time with. So read what has been put in writing that describes what this group is about, how it goes about its functions, the ground rules that it will abide by, and then ask yourself, is that something that is good for me? If possible, find out from the facilitator who are some of the other people who've already agreed to be part of the mastermind group, and look those people up on social media. See if they seem to be the kind of people that you would relate to well. And because you're in these mastermind groups, we're going to get very candid with one another. There's a lot of transparency in these meetings. So are the people who are already agreed to participate, are they the kinds of people that I can have that kind of feeling at ease with? If not, then I need to seriously reevaluate whether I ought to be part of this group.
That's important for people to realize when thinking about, again, what group is right for them and how to go about applying. Really, really great, invaluable information on the process of trying to find the ideal mastermind group to meet our needs and interests. As we, you know, talk about these themes centered around mastermind, what are some thoughts that you might want to share with our listeners on this topic further from what we've talked about thus far, Dr. Mike?
As a wrap-up today, I probably should mention that one of the challenges of being part of a mastermind group is finding one. There are some searches you can make. I did one just for fun before I started today's program. I just did a search on mastermind groups near me to see what would come up. And there were a few that I had never heard of before. I found a mastermind group that is for landlords. I found another one that was for people who are first-time supervisors. So sometimes on the web you can find them. Usually the best way to find mastermind groups is simply to start inquiring on social media or among your friends. Does anyone know of a mastermind group that deals with and then lay out the concern, the challenge that is before you that you think a mastermind group might be helpful to? Now, when you lay it out on social media, you're going to get suggestions from perhaps people all over the country, and that's all right. Many mastermind groups are fully virtual today. When I first started working with them, they were always in person. And so we had to define the participation from a fairly tight locale because of the driving time it would take for people to get to a meeting. But today, we can be in mastermind groups with people around the world. In fact, I'm in one that we have people in four countries that are regular participants in the mastermind. But finding it is a challenge. And once you find a group, don't just make a superficial judgment about whether or not it's a good group to participate in. Really do your due diligence. Do some investigation. Find out from the facilitator what it's designed to accomplish. Get that prospectus from the facilitator of what this group is going to be about, what its ground rules are, and who are some of the people who are already part of it that I can do some reference checking on simply by going to their social media pages and seeing the kinds of things they post and the kinds of experience that they have.
Folks fascinated by what we're talking about want to learn more. What's the best, most immediate way that they can do that and to contact you, Dr. Mike?
My primary website is leaderperfect.com, and that has a comprehensive description of the services that I offer and that the team that I'm building around me offers. I'm now expanding my team, adding a number of trainers and consultants and coaches to my team to take advantage of opportunities that are before us. And then for those who are needing a speaker for special events, I have a page dedicated entirely to my keynote speaking called keynotesandmore.com. And we referenced earlier in the program my podcast that has been on C-Suite Network for the last 5 years called Upsize Your Leadership. And the website for it is upsizeyourleadership.com.
Extraordinary. You're always filled with such great information. You put so much time into really breaking things out for our audience, Dr. Mike, and we applaud you and we really appreciate those efforts. Looking forward to the continuation of our conversations and more rich content for the listeners. Thanks for stopping by the show today and expanding further on Mastermind Groups. Really appreciate this conversation and looking forward to chatting again next week.
It will be a great time. It always is when we get together.
Absolutely. Masters and the Mastermind, a great team. Thank you, Dr. Mike. You be well.
Thank you.
All right. All right, folks, and another extraordinary conversation with Dr. Michael Armour. Again, stick with us because he's got more content coming our way, and if you need to review anything that we've talked about, this is fully recorded and archived in its entirety as all the episodes are, and you can go back in time and follow the thread. You will learn a lot. We really appreciate Dr. Mike making us a part of his day as well, and you a part of ours. Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, we appreciate you for being with us, and stay right there. I'll be back in just a moment with another great guest on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.